Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Argentina puts couples' rights on the national agenda. Candidate Obama speaks to LGBT issues. And musicians sing personal stories with a message in the audio file. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Sherry Lund.
And I'm Lee Moore.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending August 23rd, 2008. In the first national-level LGBT rights action in Argentina, the government this week granted same-gender couples the right to claim their deceased partner's pension. The survivor must prove that they'd been living with the deceased for at least 5 years. Prior to the new decree, the deceased partner's pensions went directly to the government. Pedro Paradiso Sotil of the Argentine homosexual community in Buenos Aires called it historic and told the Associated Press that it marks a step forward for human rights. Buenos Aires was the first Latin American capital to legalize lesbi-gay civil unions in 2002. Four other municipalities have since followed suit. Activists say they'll continue to lobby for further legal recognition of same-gender couples at the national level, including marriage equality.
A bill that would have granted adoption rights to Brazil's same-gender couples was withdrawn this week in the country's lower legislative house. Its opponents in the Congress of Deputies said the proposal was inappropriate because federal law doesn't recognize lesbi-gay unions. A marriage equality measure has been stalled in Brazil's Congress for more than 10 years. The state of southern Rio Grande do Sul established civil unions for same-gender couples in 2004. A Sao Paulo state court approved a gay couple's adoption of a 5-year-old girl in late 2006. The failure of the current adoption bill comes less than 2 months after President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva's precedent-setting national summit to discuss battling homophobia and passing LGBT rights legislation.
3 months after its historic marriage equality edict, the California Supreme Court this week ruled for lesbi-gay rights again. In a unanimous decision, the justices found that LGBT people's right to equality in medical treatment trumped a doctor's religious beliefs. The case involved Guadalupe T. Benitez, a lesbian who was refused insemination services by doctors at the North Coast Women's Care Medical Group near San Diego. Doctors said their religious views prohibited them from performing an intrauterine insemination on a lesbian. The High Court justices said such action was not protected by free speech or religious rights because it violated a state law that bans businesses from discriminating on the basis of sexual orientation. Benitez, who was represented by the LGBT advocacy group Lambda Legal, told reporters that it's a win for everyone because anyone could be the next target if doctors are allowed to pick and choose their patients based on religious views about other groups of people. One of the doctors testified that they would not provide insemination services to any unmarried woman, regardless of sexual orientation. But when asked by reporters if they would have done the procedure for a married lesbian couple, clinic lawyer Kenneth R. Pedrosa said, "I don't know." Attorney Robert Tyler of the right-wing Advocates for Faith and Freedom claimed that the ruling will spur voters to recognize the radical agenda of our opposition and support Proposition 8. That's the November ballot initiative that would eliminate the right of same-gender couples to marry in the state.
Oregon voters passed a constitutional amendment in 2004 that restricts marriage to heterosexual couples. But a Native American tribe located along the state's southern coast legalized marriages for same-gender couples this week. Coquille's tribe member Kitson Branting has announced that she'll marry her non-tribal lesbian partner, Jenny Branting, next May at the Plank House in Coos Bay, a traditional Coquille gathering place. The tribe says that it's exempt from Oregon statutes and has legal autonomy as a sovereign nation under U.S. law. But federal recognition of same-gender marriage is forbidden by the Clinton-era Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA. One legal expert believes that a challenge of the tribal marriage law in federal court could test that sovereignty. Chief Ken Tanner told the Oregonian newspaper that Native Americans are sensitive to discrimination of any kind. He said that, "For our tribe, we want people to walk in the shoes of other people and learn to respect differences. Through that, we think we build a stronger community." Coquel same-gender marriages will only be recognized within tribal borders, however. In the states of Massachusetts and California, where lesbi-gay marriage is legal, and presumably in New York, where court rulings and a subsequent gubernatorial edict require all state agencies to recognize same-gender marriages legally performed elsewhere.
6 years after the New York Times accepted its first announcement of a same-gender couple's union, more than 1,000 newspapers across the United States now publish announcements of weddings or commitment ceremonies for gay and lesbian couples. According to a press release by the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation this week, only 69 publications did so in 2002. And while most U.S. states still don't recognize same-gender unions, the nation's largest greeting card company now does. Hallmark introduced a line of cards this week that include the depiction of two tuxedos, overlapping hearts, and intertwined flowers. The message inside one of them reads, "Two hearts, one promise." There's no specific reference to marriage, so they're suitable for any form of commitment ceremony. The right-wing Concerned Women for America immediately denounced the move as a threat to children. CWA spokeswoman Janice Krause's statement charged that, "Instead of bolstering campaigns by special interest groups like the homosexual activists, corporations like Hallmark should be protecting American culture from those forces that would destroy the family and create a public environment that is especially detrimental to children's well-being." But Hallmark spokeswoman Sarah Gronberg-Colell countered that the company was responding to consumer demand, not politics. As she told reporters, "It's our goal to be as relevant as possible to as many people as we can." Hallmark began offering coming-out cards last year.
In other news, India's Health Minister Anbumani Ramadas this week reiterated his support for repeal of the country's Penal Code Section 377, which outlaws consensual adult gay sex. He repeated his statement at the International AIDS Conference in Mexico City earlier this month that it must go in order to facilitate the fight against the spread of HIV/AIDS. His comments came on the heels of another demonstration of the LGBT community's increasingly high-profile activism against Section 377. Waving rainbow-colored flags and carrying banners demanding equal rights, at least 600 people gathered in a park in Mumbai this week to demand repeal of the law. They also want an apology from the British government for introducing it during colonial rule. Several prominent non-gay Indian artists, entertainers, and academics joined the demonstration. It was held the day after India's Independence Day and at the same park 66 years ago where Mahatma Gandhi called for the British to leave India. Record-breaking LGBT pride marches have been held in other cities in the past few months. The Nas Foundation has challenged the legality of Section 377. A petition by the non-governmental organization is currently being considered by the Delhi High Court. Though Ramadas's health ministry supports repeal, the police-controlling home ministry has opposed it, calling the issue serious. The court has asked the two ministries to resolve their differences. The case is scheduled to be heard again on September 18th.
Gays and lesbians are also increasing their public profile in the southern African nation of Malawi. The Malawi Gay Rights Movement, or MAGRIM, announced its formation this week. MAGRIM's interim chairperson, who asked that his full name not be included in press reports, told local media that, "What people must know is that Malawi has always had an active gay population, and these people have been meeting for a long time. Now we've decided to come forth because we want our views heard. We are Malawian citizens who should be protected like anyone else." The former British colony is like most other nations in the region. Homosexuality is socially condemned, and convictions for consensual adult same-gender sex are punishable by imprisonment at hard labor. MAGRIM has scheduled its official launch for September 13th and plans to begin public outreach work in November.
But the recently dedicated Berlin Memorial to the thousands of gay and lesbian victims of the Nazi Holocaust was vandalized late last week. A window in the large gray cube building, through which viewers could see a brief video of two men affectionately kissing, was smashed. Some fencing was also torn down. Openly gay Mayor Klaus Wowereit had helped unveil the monument on May 27th and joined several politicians at a vigil to denounce the attack. He said, "We must show our condemnation of this act of intolerance and homophobia." Gay Buchenwald concentration camp survivor Rudolf Brazda issued a statement saying that he had feared something like this would happen. "People don't learn," he said. "They don't want to accept that there are people who are naturally different from them." More than 50,000 gays and lesbians are believed to have been convicted under sexual perversion laws during Adolf Hitler's Nazi regime. Up to 10,000 of them died in concentration camps. Far from being liberated when the Allies won World War II, many gay survivors were transferred to German prisons. Laws against consensual adult same-gender sex remained on the nation's statute books until 1969.
But finally, the only openly gay male athlete at the Olympic Games in Beijing has won gold. 20-year-old Australian Matthew Mitchum, who publicly came out earlier this year, won the men's 10-meter platform diving competition with a final near-perfect back 2.5 somersault with 2.5 twists. Four judges gave him perfect 10s, enabling him to surpass China's Zhao Luxin, who had led during most of the competition. British diver Tom Daley, who finished in 7th place, told reporters that it was an unbelievable finish from Mitchum to get all those 10s. That's probably the highest score I've ever seen in one dive.
That's News Wrap for the week ending August 23rd, 2008. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Sherry Lund.
And I'm Lee Moore.
The Messenger brings truth-stained lies to break the spell later in the program.
The pundits like to slice and dice our country into red states and blue states. Red states for Republicans, blue states for Democrats. But I've got news for them, too. We worship an awesome God in the blue states, and we don't like federal agents poking around in our libraries in the red states. We coach Little League in the blue states, and yes, we've got some gay friends in the red states. There are patriots who oppose the war in Iraq, and there are patriots who supported the war in Iraq. We are one people, all of us pledging allegiance to the Stars and Stripes, all of us defending the United States of America.
Barack Obama was still in the Illinois State Legislature when his star-making keynote speech at the 2004 Democratic National Convention catapulted him onto the national political stage. 4 years later, he's a U.S. Senator set to be nominated for president when his party convenes again this week in Denver, Colorado. When the long campaign was just beginning a year ago, Obama appeared in a nationally televised Democratic presidential forum presented by the LGBT advocacy group Human Rights Campaign. He discussed his queer rights-related credentials with panelists Jonathan Capehart of The Washington Post and HRC Executive Director Joe Solmanese.
Senator, thank you so much for joining us. It's a real honor to have you here with us tonight, and thank you for being the first to accept our invitation. You have said in previous debates that it is up to individual religious denominations to decide whether or not to recognize same-sex marriage. And so my question is, what place does the church have in government-sanctioned civil marriages?
Well, it is my strong belief that the government has to treat all citizens equally. I come from that in part out of personal experience. When you're a black guy named Barack Obama, you know what it's like to be on the outside. My concern is continually to make sure that the rights that are conferred by the state are equal for all people. That's why I opposed DOMA in 2006 when I ran for the United States Senate. That's why I'm a strong supporter, not of a weak version of civil unions, but of a strong version in which the rights that are conferred at the federal level to persons of, you know, who are part of a same-sex union are compatible. Now, as a consequence, I don't think that the church should be making these determinations when it comes to legal rights conferred by the state. My view is that we should try to disentangle what has historically been the issue of the word marriage, which has religious connotations to some people, from the civil rights that are given to couples.
But on the grounds of civil marriage, can you see to our community where that comes across as sounding like separate but equal?
Well, look, you know, when my parents got married in 1960-61, you know, it would have been illegal for them to be married in a number of states in the South. So obviously this is something that I understand intimately. It's something that I care about. But I would also say this, that if I were advising the civil rights movement back in 1961 about its approach to civil rights, I would have probably said it's less important that we focus on an anti-miscegenation law than we focus on a voting rights law and a non-discrimination and employment law and all the legal rights that are conferred by the state. Now, it's not for me to suggest that you shouldn't be troubled by these issues. I understand that and I'm sympathetic to it. But my job as president is going to be to make sure that the legal rights that have consequences on a day-to-day basis for loving same-sex couples all across the country, that those rights are recognized and enforced by my White House and by my Justice Department. And look, you know, semantics may be important to some. From my perspective, what I'm interested in is making sure that those legal rights are available to people. And if we have a situation in which civil unions are fully enforced, are widely recognized, people have civil rights under the law, then my sense is that's enormous progress.
Jonathan Capehart of the Washington Post has some questions for you.
Yes. You've gotten some praise for taking to the pulpits of black churches and telling the black community, talking to the black community about its responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Now, you and I both know that there's a homophobia problem in the black community.
Right.
So how are you going to talk to the black community about that, both as candidate and if you are elected to the White House as president?
You know, I have already done so. I'm somebody who talks about LGBT issues, not just before HRC. You know, I was with Harold Ford. He organized a forum of black ministers in Tennessee. And I specifically talked about the degree to which the notion of gay marriage in black churches has been used to divide, has been used to distract. I specifically pointed out that if there's any pastor here who can point out a marriage that has been broken up as a consequence of seeing two men or two women holding hands, then you should tell me, because I haven't seen any evidence of it. And what I've also said, and what I've also said is, if you think that issue is more important to the black family, which is under siege, if you think that's more important than the fact that black men don't have any jobs and are struggling in the inner cities, then I profoundly disagree with you.
Senator, real quickly, a recent poll from the New York Times and MTV of Americans ages 17 to 20 show that 44% of them favor same-sex marriage compared to 28% of the public. Now, you're running as a candidate of change, but how can you run as a candidate of change when your stance on same-sex marriage is decidedly old school?
Oh, come on now. I mean, look, guys, we can have this conversation for the duration of the 15 minutes, but there's a reason why I was here first. It's because I've got a track record of working on these issues. This has been the cause of my life, and will continue to be the cause of my life, making sure that everybody's treated fairly and that we've got an expansive view of America where everybody's invited in, and we are all working together to create the kind of America that we want for the next generation. All the candidates in this race are going to be terrific on these issues compared to certainly the candidates in the other party right now. And that's unfortunate, because this shouldn't be a partisan issue. The one thing I guess I would say about my candidacy, and something you should think about, is I don't just talk about these issues where it's convenient. There's a reason why in my announcement I talked about these issues. There's a reason why I talk about gays and lesbians and transgender people in my stump speeches. I'm somebody who I think is willing to talk about these issues even when it's hard, in front of black ministers. So that's the kind of political courage that I hope all of you recognize is going to be necessary in order for us to create the kind of America that we all want. And I appreciate your time. Thank you.
You've been listening to Senator Barack Obama's comments during his appearance at the Human Rights Campaign's Democratic Presidential Forum last August. LGBT activists have been cheering Obama's choice of Delaware's longtime U.S. Senator Joe Biden as his running mate. Next time on This Way Out, we'll review the LGBT-related policy positions of presumptive Republican nominee Senator John McCain. Three different lesbi-gay musicians share similar personal missions in this edition of The Audiophile.
The sixth album by Ellis is called Break the Spell. Hi, I'm Chris Wilson.
I'm J.D. Doyle, and you're listening to Audiophile. The album is personal, intimate, and hopeful. She'll draw you in.
Well, first of all, this is my favorite record I've ever made, and the comments I keep getting about it haven't been about the production or the arrangements. You know, folks just keep telling me that it's very, very real, and I can't think of a better compliment than that. What I really want to do is touch people and open their hearts, and I think this record does that.
You and me alive, chocolate cake, there's so much sweet that I can hardly wait. There's an underbelly, there is a stomach ache, but I can't help myself, I want you anyway.
Find out more about the album Break the Spell by Ellis at www.ellis-music.com.
Come in, sit down, take a load off your feet. Enjoy the atmosphere, the sound of the beat of your heart, joining in to the rhythm of the room. Breathe it in, shake it off, let go of the gloom. Feel free to stir things round or finally be still. Step on up and believe what you will.
Truth Stained Lies is the second full-length album by Ron Morris, and it's an invitation to explore your own truths.
The new album is a collection of stories that I tell myself and other people tell me about who I am, what I'm scared of, what should happen, what did happen, why it happened, on and on and on. And I feel like we all face those questions about identity and perspective. What part of it is fact? What is fiction? And I've discovered there's a little bit of truth in all of it and a fair share of lies.
What do you have to say? Why bother? The world's so big anyway. All these critics in my head keep talking and talking and talking, pushing me back into bed. I'm tossing and turning, but baby, I'm learning. I am ready to rise.
You can learn more about Ron Morris's album, Truth Stained Lies, at www.ronmorrismusic.com.
Canadian artist James Collins is not only an actor on the stage, film, and TV, but now has released his debut album called The Messenger.
Oh my God, you look like... But you say you feel so good. You don't worry about yourself. But if I were you, I think I would. Used to be Mr. Together
Collins has had a number of successes over the years as a songwriter, putting other people on the charts. But now, he's decided to sing his own songs.
My album is called The Messenger, which is a mixture of pop songs covering lots of different subject matters. Actually, I did get the title from a clairvoyant one day that said, "You're a messenger in this world," without knowing I was a songwriter.
I said you're too much in a hurry to get nowhere. Take a deep breath, relax, and fix your hair. You'll give yourself a heart attack before you get there. You're too much in a hurry to get nowhere.
Find out more about the CD The Messenger by James Collins at www.jamesl.collins.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at our new address, 594 Sawdust Road, number 273, Spring, Texas, 77380, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by J.D. Doyle, Chris Wilson, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Chris Wilson. Keep listening.
Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Sherry Lund, Lee Moore, Rex Walkner with Bill Kelly, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Ellis, Ron Morris, and James Collins performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is supported by charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Please log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can help keep us on the air. You can also subscribe to CDs or cassettes of all our programs there. To receive our weekly email alerts, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For associate producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on CJMP Powell River, British Columbia, Free Radio Asheville, Asheville, North Carolina, KPFT, Houston, Texas, and more than 175 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And we're all going to stay tuned.